I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to an Old Testament text found in Isaiah chapter 1. I thought I would express our feelings for this church body and this pastor and his family. Our youngest granddaughter, Gwyneth, she's sort of a drama queen. She's always right in the middle of everything. And yet she can, as a child, turn towards the things of God and say some things that just are unusual. Her dad was out of the country and Mom was reading a verse of Scripture before the evening meal and then having a word of prayer with the children. So she read the Scripture and she prayed. And apparently Gwen felt like she needed to repent or confess. And I don't know why I've had so much fun out of this, but her confession was, with a wrinkled face, "Sometimes I wink at the boys at school." I told them we're going to have to tie a rope on that young'un. But after being here so many times and sensing your love for us and the privilege to love you, I feel like I'll just wink at you this morning. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Kathy says this is one of my favorite phrases, but that's when we talk. I'm going to use it with y'all this morning. I'm not saying this lightly. I say it from my heart. I'm reading one verse of Scripture, verse number 19. Of course, the Lord has already said, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then we have this interesting word in verse number 19. "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Of course, he gives the negative as well in verse 20. "But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." This great Old Testament text, verse 19, speaks to my heart about the path of blessing. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That word "willing" is an interesting term. You know, it tells us that Moses' mother wove a basket of bulrushes and then hid Moses among the flags. The word "bulrushes" is the bottom part of this word "willingness." If you be willing. I think it comes from the wind blowing the bulrushes and them not fighting the wind, but just going with the sway of the wind. If you be willing. Of course, there's another idea there that all of us as parents must heed. Since she made an ark or a little boat out of those bulrushes, portrays wrapping our children in willingness. Not wrapping them in rebellion or self-will, but wrapping them in willingness. But I'm interested this morning in the benefits of walking this path with God. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. That's my Old Testament text. My New Testament illustration is even much, much more familiar than the text. I'd like to use for a few minutes the story of the prodigal son and his brother to illustrate this matter of being willing and obedient and eating of the good of the land. The truth is, the prodigal was not willing. And he said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And that's where the story begins in Luke 15:12. The father divided unto them his living. And so I would underline firstly about this path of blessing. According to the Old Testament text, this matter of willingness is expected. If you be willing. God didn't say, "I know you're not going to be willing." On other occasions, he did indicate that they had chosen the bitter part. But in our text, he gives this wonderful opportunity to walk the path of blessing if you be willing. If you be willing and obedient. Now, I'd say just a word about this willingness that is expected. The prodigal had no interest in pleasing his father. He only wanted to please himself. But where there's a willingness to go with God, there's an interest in pleasing God. I've got this in my heart. I don't know how otherwise to illustrate. Can you see that bulrush moving with the current of the wind? The thought is in my heart this morning, if you'd just lean in the right direction. If I'd just lean in the right direction toward God. He's not asking us to do the impossible. But he said, if you'll just be willing, if you'll lean in my direction, it involves an interest to please God. It also involves an inclination to please God. The inclination of the prodigal was, "I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go for bigger things and greater days." He gathered his substance together, we're told in verse 13, and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. He leaned away from his father. He leaned away from the realm of blessedness. And he cast his lot in the far country. You remember Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom instead of choosing the land that God had promised to bless. He took that other part that already seemed to be blessed. It's hard for us to wait on God, isn't it? I thought of Pharaoh. He talked on several occasions, he talked well and good. You thought, boy, the children of Israel are going to get out of this bondage. But he didn't lean in the right direction. He wasn't willing. And so we see, first of all, the willingness that is expected. If you be willing. Could I press our responsibility for just a few minutes? How are you leaning? Now, I've never had good posture. I have found out in later years that I'm double and triple jointed. I couldn't stand up straight if you held a gun on me. And I don't like to see videos of my preaching because I lean on the pulpit. And I don't like to sit on the platform because the longer I sit there, the further down I go. My teachers fussed at me in school to sit up straight. My daddy was very displeased with the fact that I didn't walk upright. He is like a little Napoleon, son. He's gonna walk it right. And then here I came along. But I can lean on something. Jacob died leaning on his staff. Oh, that we might lean towards God. It involves an interest to please God. It involves an inclination to please God. Do you want to lean in that direction? Do you want to move towards God? You know, this is my little definition. It may not fit every verse, but it seems to me that grace is any movement that God makes in our direction. And then faith, as enlivened by God, is any movement that we make in His direction. And so it's a call to trust Him, to lean on Him. If you be willing, you'll lean in my direction, he said, and be obedient. Ye shall eat the good of the land. I ask us again, how are we leaning? Are we leaning away from God? Or are we leaning toward God? As a boy, though I didn't realize it, I got much help from a dear preacher by the name of Arthur Blackburn. My grandmother so loved Arthur Blackburn's preaching that Dad would help her get in the car, and he'd park the car where she could sit in the car there near the tabernacle when he would preach the camp meeting in our area. And Blackburn told the story about baptizing this lady. He knew that she had come from a primitive Baptist background, and in that area, the primitive Baptist baptized face forward. Instead of rolling them back in the water, they pushed them down in the water. Well, Brother Blackburn was not a big man, and this woman was a pretty good-sized gal, and he said, I talked to her about the baptism. He said, then we started, and I raised my hand upon your profession of faith, and upon command from Christ Jesus our Lord, I now baptize thee, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he said, as I pushed her backward, she pushed forward. I tried to push her backward, she pushed forward. I whispered, sister, you're going to have to cooperate with me. He tried to push her backward. She'd lean forward. He finally just pushed her down, he said. Well, she's leaning in the wrong direction. Oh, that we might lean towards God. We want to lean towards Him as we worship Him in His house. We want to lean towards Him as we go back to our house. We want to lean towards Him while we're on the job. We want to lean towards Him while we mix and mingle with folks in business and in the community. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. So the prodigal leaned in the wrong direction. Secondly, our text in the Old Testament not only stated, if you be willing, but it goes on to say, and obedient. Obedient. The prodigal not only was not willing, but he was not obedient. instead of his father being able to tell him what to do, he began to tell his father what his father was going to have to do. You need to divide all this inheritance. Let me have my part. And so he was not obedient. I've mentioned the willingness that is expected in the path of blessing. I would mention, secondly, the obedience that is exhibited in the path of blessing. Again, I'm using the opposite of the prodigal because he was disobedient. But I would mention, firstly, this matter of obedience is being receptive to the Father's commands. It's to hear him. It's to have ears for him. If ye be willing and obedient. So we move a little further from leaning in the right direction to listening to his voice. As you hear it, my physical hearing has taken a turn for the bad in the last year, worse than in previous years. Of course, my grandfather couldn't hear, my daddy couldn't hear. And so help me, I'm saying every day now, pardon me, excuse me, what'd you say? Or I'm saying to my wife, you're going to have to talk in my direction. You can't talk going the other way. I want to hear you. And I've started sitting at the table with my good ear towards the people that I'm sitting with, because this left one doesn't help me much. I'll probably have to get some aids before long. At any rate, how's your hearing spiritually? What are you listening to? I want to tell you, there are a lot of voices in this culture. There are a lot of voices in this society. There's even a lot of voices in the religious world. What are you listening to? If ye be willing, if you lean in my direction and obedient, if you'll listen to what I've got to say. My dad's favorite expression was when my mama would try to tone him down a little bit, he's done riled up at me. She'd say, "Now, old T, don't be so hard on him. You was a boy too." They didn't know I heard it, I don't guess, but my daddy would say, "Ruby, everything I say goes in one ear and out the other." And so help me, we've raised children the same way. Seemed like at a certain point they have hearing problems. But what about us spiritually? Is it just going over our head? Is it going by us? Is it just going through our ears, so to speak? Or are we listening? If a man hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Response, receptive to his commands. And then this matter of obedience is not only being receptive to his commands, but responsive to his commands. James talked about hearing and doing. That's responding to what you hear. Jesus said, a man that supposedly hears and does not do or act upon the word is like a man who built his house upon the sand. And then came the rainstorm, the unusual cyclone type storm. And the winds blew and the waters beat on that house. And great was the fall of it, Jesus said. My idea is the house that was built on the rock, you hear and you do. That's strong. That's settled. But the one that just hears a little and never does, that house is going to go down the river, brother. You see it? Falling and going down with the water. I don't want to go down the river. I'd like to operate in the realm of faith and walk with God and know God, as the pastor said earlier. I say, beloved, there must not only be receptivity, but there must be a response in my inner man to what God says. Oh, to say yea and amen, Lord. Yea and amen. I'll not pick on you. I'll be the dirty bird. I'll give the illustration on me. Some years ago, I was traveling to Tennessee. I was going to preach on the other side of Chattanooga. My time was very close. I knew it was. But it's spitting snow and a little ice. And can I say this? And all the Florida people were going about 2 miles an hour. I said, Lord, I'm never going to get there. I'll never get to Waxahachie down in the edge of Georgia, Trenton, Georgia. And when I finally got to Newport, I thought, I'm going to go down 411 and go through Sevierville. And it'll bring me out eventually at Maryville. And then from Maryville, I'll go on to Cleveland, hit the bypass and go on down to Chattanooga. And there wasn't hardly any traffic on the road. And this traffic on the interstate was terrible. So I head off down through there. I mean, I'm making up a minute or two every now and then. I came over this hill. You'll not believe who was parked at the bottom of that hill. The same fella that ought to have been out there directing traffic on the interstate. And really, I made it easy for him. He hit his light, and I pulled over and backed right up against him. Got out, walked to the door, kept my hands out, you know. And here we went. We went through the little story. He told me I needed to send X amount of dollars back to the county seat. And I told him, well, I'm 15 minutes further behind. And he gave me the ticket and the address, and I got back in my car. That was about when they implemented the 55 mile an hour, you know. I went over a couple of hills and a couple of alleys, and I was doing more than 55 again. No, I didn't get caught. But I'm saying I was not being obedient. I received the ticket humbly. Oh, I hated it. And I knew the speed limit, but I didn't heed it. I didn't heed it. It's to me, it's maybe straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, but it's the difference between surrendering. I surrendered, brother, when I saw the blue line. But I didn't submit. And I got there late for the service, and the dear pastor is already preaching when I got there. I'm saying it's one thing to lean in the right direction. It's another thing to adhere to God's commands, to obey them, to listen to Him. If you be willing, if you lean in my direction, and be obedient, if you'll listen to what I have to say and submit to it, ye shall eat the good of the land. Of course, you know, when the prodigal left, he got down in the far country and wasted his goods, his substance. And then, having spent everything, there was a mighty famine in the land. Verse 14 says, and he began to be in want. And he went, verse 15, and joined himself to a citizen of that country. The word joined indicates he cleaved to. Man's to leave his father, mother, and cleave to his wife. Same word. And he cleaved to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And verse 16 said, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He wasn't willing, he wasn't obedient, and he didn't get to eat the good of the land. He was without. He was in want. I'm going to call this not only the willingness that is expected on the path of blessing, if you be willing, and the obedience that is exhibited on the path of blessing. But I would mention the fullness that is enjoyed on the path of blessing. Ye shall have or eat the good of the land. Now that does not mean the entire Christian life will come with full blessings. There will be trials. There will be dark times. There will be conflicts. There will be battles. But overall, this is the good way. Walk ye in it. Ye shall eat the good of the land. If you'll lean in God's direction, and if you'll listen and heed to what He says, you can enjoy His fullness. The path of blessing. I thought, first of all, the prodigal repented. He said, he came to himself. God has to bring us there, doesn't He? And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Lord, what a fool I've been. Well, my daddy's slaves have got more to eat than what I've got. And he said, verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Ah, brother, he's headed now in the right territory. He's leaning in the right direction. And the first thing his father said when he was honest with him, he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you're self-willed and determined to have it your way, you may be eating what the hogs are wanting to eat, what the hogs are eating. The path of blessing is the path of fullness. Now I must point out that they had a time here at the Father's house. And isn't it interesting? God doesn't owe us anything. However, when He works in us, and there's a leaning back in His direction. If you could just lean in that direction. The Father received the Son safe and sound again. I have found that God is very gracious to His people if they'll turn towards Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the boy came home, and his father saw him when he was a great way off and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, according to the law, if a boy was rebellious, the father could bring him before the council or the town fathers, the elders of the gate. And he could push the boy down on the ground and put his foot on his son's neck, which meant he's worthy to be judged. He's worthy to die. He's a rebel. But this father did not put his foot on his son's neck. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. The idea, he kissed and he kissed. And he kissed some more. And he kissed and he kissed. That's the kind of sugar I like when I get home to Kathy. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Listen to me. The father was open-hearted and open-handed. He embraced the boy. Matthew, you about to... A smaller one here. Let me pick on you. Come up here and help me preach for a minute. You wasn't planning on that, was you? Now, I'm going to let you be the prodigal. You get over here in the far country. And really, you look too nice. We need to change all this. There you are. Yeah, you're looking more like a prodigal. Lean over a little bit. There he is. The Bible said when the father saw him while he was a great way off, he ran to meet him. Now you can imagine a big flowing robe coming along behind the father. And I know he's growing up a little bit, but you still won't see much of him when I hug him. Don't get excited. I'm not going to kiss you and kiss you and kiss you. I could see something in your eye there. Anyhow, the father runs to meet his boy, and you're back at the house. You can't see the boy for the father's robe. And he embraces him. You know if he'd been in the hog pen. Thank you, Matthew. Straighten up a little bit now. You know if he'd been in the hog pen, he wasn't the sweetest smelling thing. Huh? Somebody said, what difference does it make about his robe covering him, Tom? Love covereth a multitude of sins. And I've found that our Heavenly Father is quick to cleanse, and he's quick to purge, and he's quick to forgive if we lean in the right direction. Now let me finish up. There's another brother here. Matthew, you want me to use Shane here? He's getting so big I'm afraid to fool with him. But think about this elder brother for a minute. You'd think when that brother of his came home that he'd say, "Woo-hoo! My brother's home!" No, he didn't respond that way. The Bible says he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said, "Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound." And his brother was angry and would not go in. In other words, he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing. The prodigal has turned to willingness and obedience and fullness, but the elder brother won't come in. And his father entreated him. Maybe it sounded something like this, "Son, come on in now. This is sort of a once-in-a-lifetime feast. Come on in and welcome your brother." And he said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress." Watch out now. "Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." By the way, if you've got such a proud attitude and you go back and keep up with all your batting average spiritual and you think it's okay, you'll probably stay on the outside of blessing too. And here's the one that gets me. "And yet thou never gavest me a kid." That would be a little goat. In that society, the kid is a little goat. "That I might make merry with my friends." I learned the hard way about this kid stuff. I was preaching in Scotland with Brother Doom. And I said something about missing my kids. And the old Scottish preacher who was there, Charles Main, he was an old evangelist that had worked with Dr. James A. Stewart and many of the other great men of God. It came his time to preach, and he looked right down at me and he said, "Young man," he said, "I see you've gotten caught up in the American way. You called your children kids." He said, "Methinks if you call your children kids, you must think their mother is an old goat." So I took the rebuke. Well, all he wanted was a little goat. He said, "Let him offer me a little goat." Now, why would somebody whine about not having a goat when they could go in and eat ribeyes, T-bones, sirloins, Jerusalem strips? Amen. Ah, brother, I'm talking to you about being willing and obedient. And his father pleaded with him and he wouldn't come in. And he wouldn't even call his brother his brother. He said, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." The prodigal at first was neither willing, obedient, or enjoying the fullness of his father. But he leaned in the right direction and he came home and was received. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, the songwriter said, with all my sin. He enjoyed the fatted calf, but the elder brother who had been there all the time was as far away from his father as the prodigal had been in the far country. He was unwilling, he was disobedient, and he didn't enjoy the fullness of the hour. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Would you stand with me, please?